Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Now in depth on bringing clarity and control to the chaos of high spending. For the next 5 weeks, we'll be inundated with messages to buy. Black Friday sales, 11th-hour discounts, gift lists that grow longer as Christmas nears. It's a time when too many Americans decide they'll think about it after the holidays. But what if you approach this high spending season with an organized money plan, and you checked in on that plan every now and then, maybe when you felt the pressure to spend more than you're comfortable with? That's what Ruth Hayden is here to talk about. No shaming, no fear mongering here, Ruth. And we want to hear from you. Welcome. It's good to have you here.
Good to be here.
So here's our question. Have you emerged from a holiday season where you've been shocked to see what your spending added up to? You kind of had that moment of, wow, didn't mean to spend all that much. Wish I could rearrange that a little bit. Wish I didn't have kind of the spending hangover on the other side of the Christmas holidays. Have you struggled to balance smart spending with smart budgeting? So I'd like you to think about that. Maybe you had one of those high spending seasons and you made some changes. And I think that would be interesting to hear as well. But have you been through this where you've spent a lot, the shock kind of set in on the other side of the holidays, or you've been through this and you thought, next time, this is what I'm going to do? 651, or questions about how to do it. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. I'm on Twitter, at Carrie NPR. Ruth, the minute you came in and sat down, you said, you know this will make people a little nervous. Mm-hmm. You wanted to add some context to mm-hmm. this. What's the context around
this? The context that it's bigger than just restricting spending.
Yes.
NPR did a study that said that the highest stressor for Americans is finances. Okay? Brain studies tell us that when a person is under stress, measurably, their thinking goes down. The brain function goes down by at least 25%. Okay? Uh-huh. This is important because it's more than just making the money work. Atlantic magazine said that 47% of Americans can't come up with $400 in an emergency.
We did a show on that with the guy that wrote that piece.
Yeah. That's stress.
Right.
He said he had trouble.
That's right.
Right? That's an amazing, but that's stress. And then we're going into, as you've been saying, the highest spending period of the year. And that's stress. What are we going to do? And there's a solution, which is a budget, believe it or not. And I don't care. People get hung up on what it's called. It can be called a spending plan. It could be called a cash flow plan.
I specifically did not use the word budget. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it's called. What it is a plan for your money. And the reason that that's important, Carrie, I read a study that said that when people feel control, their stress level goes down. Now, I am hearing in my office how people are feeling totally out of control and they don't know what's going to happen and they feel lost and nothing seems to matter. And I say, if we can pick a part of your life and we can put some control in it where you go, oh, I could do this, right? Maybe the stress can get less, because the studies say when you feel in control in an area of your life, your stress goes down and you can think again.
I want you to hear this story from Kay in Duluth.
Okay.
Hi, Kay. Sounds like you've been through this. I wanted to hear your experience.
Well, we had four children. My husband was a teacher, and I was a at-home mom. And one Christmas, I spent money and I charged on credit cards and ended up in debt. And it was an awful experience. I was worried and depressed about it and upset, very upset. So I thought, what can I do? And I decided I'd start a little savings, a Christmas envelope, and tucked money away each payday. So that the next Christmas, I had money for Christmas, and I didn't have to have a terrible experience with being in debt over Christmas.
You also had a plan, which was you would spend the money in the envelope, and that's it, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And I did do that as well. I cut back on all that Christmas buying. That was another thing over the years. I kept just cutting back and cutting back. Oh, it just to the point now where you won't believe it. We draw names, and we spend $25.
That's good.
And what she's talking about is perfect, because she, the anxiety that she felt, the out of control that she felt, that's called stress. And people decide to make a change for either a positive or a negative. That was a huge negative for her. And she says, not going to do this
again. The overspending on the credit cards.
Yeah, not going to do it again. She went through all that anxiety, all that fear, all that stress. People also can do it out of positive. I just want something better. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to live with this kind of stress. Or I just want to think better.
Ruth, I think part of the recoil from the idea of the budget is, well, that's not fun. And this is a spirit of giving and making other people feel happy. And if I'm going to put limits around what I'm going to spend, I'm taking away from some of the joy of the season. I can hear that rationale.
But then you have to have a higher purpose. That's why I wanted to put it in context. Because if it's all about feeling deprived, feeling like you can't show love, feeling like somehow you're going to be limited in what you want to do, if it's a negative, right? You won't do it. That's why people have to decide why they want to do it. Is it a positive or is it a negative? But if we trigger in the, I love the brain studies, by the way, if we trigger in the brain, the positive, I want to spend, the reward center in the brain.
Right.
We have to find a way to manage that part and change the context. If I set, like she did, I set an amount of money for the holidays and I stay within it and I get very creative about how am I going to show love? How am I really going to have fun this Christmas and this holiday season and get on the other side of it and say, a heck of a job. Fabulous. I can go into January clean and clear and had a wonderful holiday. You know that January is one of the toughest months for stress in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Couples,
right.
They're arguing over these bills that are coming in.
Right.
And the pleasure of it is gone.
Exactly.
All the studies say that what you give to a child doesn't remember. It's only in the moment. They remember experiences. They remember their parents fighting. They don't remember, oh, yeah, that was the year I got. They don't. Those are studies. And so now we have these experiences that are negative. You've been stressed out all during this holiday season. So you have to find a different motivation other than it's just going to spoil the fun. No.
Ruth Hayden is in the studio this morning. As we're talking about the holidays, I also want to say high spending seasons happen with back to school.
That's true.
Are other times of the year.
And vacations.
Right. And maybe this isn't just about how you think about Christmas, but it's how you manage this idea of the organization, the plan, when impulse control is battling maybe with whatever plan
and
you
we
put
have
into place.
To have a plan. We have emotionally and financially a plan that moderates impulse. It's like you would never give your credit card to an 8-year-old and say, sweetheart, have fun. The impulse control part in us is like an 8-year-old. We have to find a way to moderate it and manage it and be responsible so we don't have to live with that kind of stress.
So maybe you go through this, August. That's your high spending season too, as you get ready for back to school. And you've figured out a way to really make this work. Or you've been through it and you came out on the other side and you made some changes. Talk to us about how you confront these times of the year where there's a lot of pressure to spend. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, on Twitter at @CarrieMPR. So I want to talk to you, Ruth. Well, let me grab a call here and then we'll come back to you, because I want to ask you about some digital apps and some very simple kinds of things for organizing your spending. So
I want to hear that it is a little different during the holiday season.
Oh, it is.
Because it is so charged. There's a peer pressure piece going back to school that the parents and the kids feel.
Right.
But this the holiday season is so charged with what it's supposed to be.
Got it.
And what
it's expectations
supposed to feel,
of what a holiday
season. That it just puts money up into a whole nother level.
Got it. To Deborah in Minneapolis. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. Hey. What I do is I buy Christmas presents for the following year at after Christmas sales, or I buy things throughout the year if I know that there's something special. But also my friends and I have decided to make presents. Like I'm a photographer and I make greeting cards, and I think it's a special gift to write a note to someone, an original work of art, telling them what they mean to me.
I have a friend who does that, and I love it. I look forward to getting her card
every
year.
People remember that one.
Right.
That's a memory. They will remember that one. You know, what she's talking about is she has a plan, and she's figured out how to follow it. And she also realizes there's a positive in there. People remember it.
Right.
And she really gets to share herself. But that means that she has stepped out of all the flurry and the craziness and this hyped up spending, and you've got to have this, and you've got to have this, and if you don't, there's something wrong if you can't give it to yourself or to your children.
So, Ruth, some specifics on organizing then. Once
yes.
you've decided, I'm hearing Ruth loud and clear, how do I do it?
Well, you start with, if we want to use the holiday season as a practice budget, that would be possible because it's the same concept. I always tell people that if we can find a way to practice, you know, take a little piece of your budget, set up some what we want it to look like and what we're going to do, and then follow it so you get that sense of control. The next step is, now how are we going to do it with all of the money, and how are we going to do it with the spending? If you can do it with this holiday, honest to goodness, you can do it with anything.
Okay.
So you say, what do we want? You start with the meaning. What do we want this season to be like?
Ah.
What a concept.
Yeah.
Yes. What do
That's
we want
great.
For what do I want for me? What do I want for my family? What do I want for my friends? What do we want for as an experience?
Are you
what
doing this as a family?
Well, if they have a family, it needs
but
to be as a family.
You know what I'm saying is
like,
are the kids in on this conversation
the kids
too
are
or not?
In on what kind of things do we want to do that would be fun?
Okay.
You know, or experiences.
Yep.
What are we doing here? And once you get clear on what, and part of that, I'm back to the stress again, is that I want it to be as stress-free as possible because we want it to be fun. You can't have fun and stress in the same in the same moment. So how do we create that? What do we not do that we did last year and have this different experience? The kids may be disappointed because they not want the next, you know, best thing.
Yeah.
And you say, no, we want this different. It's absolutely interesting for me how children get on board with this when they understand why. Otherwise, they just get upset because
they don't have the thing.
Yeah.
Right.
But if they understand why.
Get on board how? I mean.
Where you say, mom and dad or mom or dad, whoever the child is living with, you know, this is what we want. Last year, you remember. And if you don't remember, we're telling you. This is what happened. And it got a little crazy. And then you heard arguing. And then you heard, we're not going to do that again. You can trust us. We are responsible people. And we're going to set this up and we're going to have fun. And it's going to be very, very different. And let's talk about what part you don't want to lose from Christmas.
So if the kid says, I thought it was really fun when we all went sledding on the day before Christmas, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or it was just fun because we were all cozy together.
Right.
Or Jane and Joe Doe came over and we just loved them and they came over and their kids came over and we played games where we put a puzzle together.
This is sounding so Norman Rockwell here, Ruth.
Well, I do think if you start with what do our children want to remember? What do we want them to remember about the holiday? What does the holiday mean? All the holidays, no matter what the culture, what the religion, has a meaning. What is the meaning? And how are we going to show it? And how are we going to do it? And it's not about money.
Steph off the page.
Kay says, last celebratory event, we limited gifts to things just purchased from thrift and secondhand stores, so much cheaper, and we helped the planet.
To the phones to Bill in Maple Grove. Hi, Bill. How do you work this out?
Hi.
Kind of sounds like you've been channeling Ruth Hayden here a little bit.
Well, Ruth is great. It's great ideas. I'm actually a financial advisor, so I kind of run up against this with clients.
Okay.
Where they have problems. And one of the things that I think has maybe helped is we tell our client if they, like, have lost their job or they're on a fixed income, just to set aside a certain amount of money into perhaps a separate account. And when that amount of money is gone, when they've planned as to who will get what gifts, when that money is gone, they're done. And the second thing I think that's helped is in advance, like maybe around Thanksgiving or even before, let family know that, you know, they don't have an unlimited budget or they're on a fixed income and that they just need to, I mean, just tell the truth that they need to watch their dollars over Christmas time.
I don't know, Bill. I think a lot of people are leery to signal in any way to some other part of the family things aren't as rosy financially as they as we wish they were. I mean, do a lot of your clients really do that?
I don't know. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. But other than being really honest about it with the family, I mean, I'm not sure how else to handle it or what to tell them to say. But I do understand what you mean by there's a reluctance to be a downer, so to speak. It's a bit of a down conversation.
I think you make a really good point, though, because there, Ruth, you know this, there's expectations within the family.
Yes.
Well, last year we gave you this and you gave us that, and we don't think that was commensurate with what we gave you.
And it keeps rising.
Right.
You know, it doesn't get less.
In the family.
Yeah. And what Bill is saying is correct. There's a piece in there that's difficult. You know, most people will not raise... I tell my clients, let me start over. You can't judge the outside on what's happening on the inside because you never know. And for me to say we're trying to watch our money because we don't have as much as you think, that would be exposure and vulnerability.
Yeah.
And that's probably not going to happen.
Right.
Setting an amount of money for the holiday season. And some of my clients set it for the gifts and then they set something else for entertainment and decorations. Okay. And then they planned. It takes planning. And I'm back to the stress again, Carrie. When people are just running as fast as they can and they're feeling really stressed out and they're really reacting more than they're thinking, they can't plan. They can't sit down and say, okay, what's this going to look like and what do we want the holiday to really be?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're suggesting people do this now,
yes,
Ruth.
Because they're going to need to come. You know, the first caller, Kay, said that she sets it up a year ahead.
Yeah.
You know, we have a pot for holiday spending, and that's what's there. And we can spend it any way we want to, but that's what's there. This would be right now around Thanksgiving. It's also the time you're going to see, family.
Right.
How are we going to do this differently so it's more meaningful? How are we going to do this differently so it's less stressful? Use whatever word feels like your authenticity.
Is this something you just mentioned, you'll see family at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something you kind of... you introduce at the Thanksgiving dinner? We're doing things a little differently
this year.
It can't
be from a problem point of view. It could be from less stressful.
Right.
It can be
we're
less
trying to
frantic.
Make things less stressful,
yeah.
And here's our thought.
What can we do differently so that it's just kind of fun for all of us? So when you start to talk about money and not having enough money, people really won't. Some people will, and good for them. Most people won't. And it has to be something bigger that can really create a conversation.
Call here Ruth from Frank in Cottage Grove. Hi, Frank.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good. What's your suggestion or question on this?
Well, I do agree that you have to start the budget early, but you have to have a continuous plan for it. And you have to plan for the things that most people wouldn't expect. For example, we got... a couple years ago, we got my daughter an iPhone, used iPhone, for Christmas, and we made it very clear that that was her Christmas and that was her birthday gift because it was very extravagant. One downside we found to that was my wife had linked our daughter's iPhone into her iTunes account. And so, you know, she had a conversation. My wife had a conversation with our daughter and said, you know, you're linked into this. I don't care if you get one song or two songs, but you can't overdo it. the problem is when you're dealing with a child who doesn't understand budgets, you know, one or two songs, which cost 99 cents, $1.99, turns into $400 or $500 over a few months because they're thinking, oh, well, this is all I'm spending at once.
Okay, so I think Ruth has some good suggestions about how you talk to a kid.
This reminds me of how parents with college-age kids say, now this is a credit card, you only use it for emergency. And then they see the bill and it's pizza and it's, you know, this is not an emergency.
Right.
So, you know, I think of a budget as a rooms in a house with agendas. Mm-hmm. So you have to be very, very clear whether the child is 10 or the child is 20, what is the agenda? And you have to do that too, and you and your partner have to. What is the agenda for this money? And you can't just say, now be reasonable, or use it as an emergency. It won't translate the same. And then the child feels bad, and parents are frustrated, and it's just that it wasn't clear. So how are we going to make this clear? And so, you know, for the iTunes thing, so is it one or is it two? And if it goes over that, how are you going to pay for that?
It's like two songs a month or whatever it is.
And
right?
if it Very goes specific. Over, we have to disconnect it.
Right.
We have to figure out a way to hold the boundary. Budgeting is simply about setting boundaries and finding a way to stay within it. That's all it is. I tease the couples in the couples class. I say, you two have to agree on these boundaries. If you two don't agree which is the bathroom and which is the kitchen, we're going to have problems. So we have to agree on agenda. And money is about agenda. You have to agree on it and then hold it. How are we going to hold it? I have had many couples over the years that never could hold it, or individuals too, and they take it out in cash and they spend cash just at Christmas and see what it's like and see if they can stay within it. Their spending completely changes.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because that precious little stack of cash, however big it is, that's it. That's what they
have agreed. There is something about handing over cash for stuff that is not the same as a debit card.
Their whole perspective changes.
Right.
And the next holiday season, they may not use cash, but they get it now.
It's in your head.
That's what limit looks like. The cash piece makes it visceral. Your brain is involved now thinking and saying, be careful, we could run out. And then little Johnny won't get a present.
Your reward centers are being controlled by the rest of your brain, which is really good, your impulse control. Ruth Hayden with us if you've just tuned in. And we're talking, oh, by the way, she mentions those couples classes. I want to say that you can find out more about them at ruthhayden.com. Are you sold out? When's your next class, by the way?
Next classes are early February. Couples is closed. Women's still open. And the summer classes are open.
Okay. Yeah. So if you want to sign up for the classes, that's where to get the information. Conversation today about whether you've had this experience of emerging from a holiday season or a high spending time of the year and thinking, how did I spend that much? Now I'm going to have to spend the next, you know, 5 or 6 months paying that off. And it's going to cast a pall over the fun that we had over the holidays. And maybe you did something different there. 651-227-6000. If you've been through that, 800-242-2828 on Twitter. Ann says, Americans need to unfocus from consumerism and things. It's about meaning. Avoid the group think. This is what I like about what Anne says. Avoid the group think. Dare to be different. It does take a little bit of swimming against the stream.
I love
Ruth.
Her group think.
Yeah.
You know, I challenge my clients to handle the peer pressure.
Yeah.
Because this is adult peer pressure.
It is.
They talk to their children about managing peer pressure, and then they can't. And so this is a wonderful opportunity for the parent or parents to get clear with this is what we're doing here. And we're not going to succumb. We're not going to get seduced by all of that marketing. We're going to stay very clear on what we're trying to create in our family. And that is an incredible lesson for children to watch.
To the phones to John in Duluth. Hi, John.
Hi. Along those lines, I just wanted to share the fact that around this time of the year, we share amongst our family members emails on ideas, you know, for some modest gifts for ourselves and gift lists, wish lists, whatever. We've been moving more towards charitable giving and asking each other to give. because we have so much, and it's a, you know, right, it's a holiday that has Christian origins, and so we often use the ELCA, Lutheran Church, designated giving, designated gifts method of giving.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Where we have a lot. We want to share, and it's more meaningful. And then you get a card in return that says, we donated in your name to this international aid organization.
This is what I do for my dad.
That gets back to the meaning again. Can we decide the meaning? Two things on that. One is you have to clearly communicate with people. You know, there. I've had clients say, I didn't want a heifer. And I have to think for a second what we're talking about here, right? And so
why wouldn't you want a heifer? It's not like you're taking care of it. Somebody's getting one somewhere in the world.
The point is, it was a miscommunication.
I got it. Yeah.
And so this whole piece about clarity of meaning, and then how are we going to hold this and make this work?
Yeah,
I think is spectacular. And how can we hold within the money we said we were going to spend, not as a negative, but as a positive?
Here's family pressure for you, Ruth, from Michelle in central Minnesota. Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
So how's this work for your family?
So there are five children in our family, and all of us are recent home buyers and starting with young children. And we're all kind of trying to morph our Christmas into less emphasis on the gift giving and more about the experience. I have a sister who is admittedly very nostalgic and sentimental about purchasing and giving gifts at the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
How can we wean ourselves off of so much materialism? And we find, just like Ruth was talking about, our kids are so obsessed about what we're getting next, they don't even hear the Christmas carol.
So you have a sister, though, who connects the pleasure of Christmas with everybody giving some nice things and the joy you get in receiving something like that.
Yes, and especially about the giving part.
How do they talk to the renegade sister here,
again,
Ruth?
We have a holiday right now that all cultures, religions, faiths celebrate Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It is a wonderful, wonderful time, especially if they're split up a little over the election. It's a wonderful time to come together and say, let's talk about the holiday season, right? Kind of distract a little bit and talk about the meaning of it. And as a family, which can be immediate family, parent and child, or bigger family, how are we going to talk about it? This is not the meaning of this, and how are we going to do it?
Okay, Michelle, are you still there?
Yes.
Is the family getting together for Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think you could introduce the idea of this at the dinner table?
We've been talking about it gingerly for over a year and a half now, I suppose, and it's hard to make a transition from purchasing to just, you know, doing something. We used to go to a movie on Christmas Day or things like this. You know, can we meet at a resort and do something more get together based rather than?
Well, maybe it doesn't have to be cold
either
turkey.
Or. Maybe it doesn't have to be either or. And it can't be done with judgment that this way is better than that way.
Right.
Because then people are going to get defensive and their backs are going to get
up. What's wrong? I love to give gifts.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
It isn't that. It's like, can we do a mixture? You know, can we do experience togetherness? What does that mean? What would that look like? And can we do gifts? But take it down a notch, and then next year it could come down a notch again. But it's kind of an and rather than an either or. And I worry in this area of money, just like other areas of money, people feel superior. So the judgment is there.
Do you think you could drop in on Michelle's dinner, Ruth, and just kind of guide
that? Facilitate the conversation.
Michelle, would that help if Ruth just showed up for a turkey leg and a discussion?
It would.
And, Michelle, that would be fun.
In our defense, we've also dropped the price limit to $50.
That's good.
Value per gift.
Yeah.
And we can't really go any further down than that because we don't want to start giving mittens and stuff for Christmas. You know what I mean?
But you're getting there. It sounds like you're starting to formulate a plan.
Mm-hmm. We are.
Sister.
We are. We're just not sure. We're not sure what the next baby step is going to be.
Okay.
Well, I think what's important is you're confronting it, and every year you're making a little bit of a change and getting closer to kind of a it has to be a compromise. It has to be a compromise.
Okay, Michelle, good luck. Will you let us know how it goes?
Oh, thank you. I will. All thanks. Right, happy holidays.
And to you. Steph off the page.
Babina says, I think telling family that you're on a budget, an easier way to do it is to just let them know you'll be giving gifts to create memories instead of extravagant gifts that don't create lasting memories.
That's really good.
And then she writes, like the Christmas story, everyone remembers the bunny suit, which is, in case you don't remember,
what?
In the movie The Christmas Story, Ralphie gets a pink bunny suit.
Oh, my husband loves that movie. Doesn't he also get a BB gun?
Does he get the Red Ryder rifle? I think he does.
Doesn't he?
Yeah. It's going to poke. It's going
to. But again, it has to be done without judgment.
Yes.
It has to be.
That's the key here.
It's too easy to all of a sudden feel, you know, better than.
Right.
Because
I've got the superior way to do this. Yeah, you want to
be
aware
of that. Careful, because that will split up a family and hurt feelings more than anything.
So a call here, Ruth, from Carrie in Starbuck. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Hey.
Thanks
so,
for taking my call.
Yeah. You have a question or you're figuring out a way to handle this?
Well, I just wanted to share a little bit of our family story. In 2008, when the market crashed, we had a set of siblings, we had about, 10 little cousins that we had to buy gifts for. And it was just so expensive, it wasn't an option. So we completely reconfigured it to be an experience. So we started that year, instead of doing gifts, we had this, weekend extravaganza where we baked a bunch of goods together and the kids were involved in that. Everybody picked something to bake. And then we plated up all those treats. We dressed up in crazy costumes. And then we went into our little town, into the low-income apartment complexes, to places that are sort of forgotten. If anybody had lost a spouse, things like that, we would show up at their door and we would Christmas carol and give them this plate of cookies. And this started years and years ago, and people's reaction was just unbelievable. They would say, what organization are you with? Or, did you want a donation? And we'd say, no, we're just a family. Merry Christmas, And over the years, this grew and grew, and our kids, in their real formative years, this is what Christmas was to them, and we would have certain places we went that were just, the situation was not good, and you could see it, and just the amount of cheer that we could bring to them and how that changed our kids. Well, when the economic situation turned around, we said, hey, would you like to go back to giving gifts now? Mm-hmm. And they unanimously decided that they did not want to do that.
Yeah. Well,
do you know that there's a study that says that when children are part of giving, they give 34% more as adults.
You mean making the decisions?
being part of it. Yeah. Not being told they have to, but being part of it, like whether you're bringing things to people, giving. When they're 34% more as adults, that's huge. That's huge.
Steph, you'll appreciate this from Medicine Joe. He says, my family's been doing a books and booze giveaway for Christmas for the last few years. Everyone's happy.
I love that
idea. I think I'd be happy in that. That's a really good idea. Yeah,
Carrie, Steph. Do we need to mention the apps?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You're right. I forgot about
that. Apps that people can use that help them figure out what their money is.
What do you recommend?
Well, there's the three most popular are Mint.com.
Okay.
Okay. YNBA. You need a budget. YNAB. Okay. And then there's, it's pronounced kind of strange, but it's Envelopes. M-V. Okay. Envelopes.
Envelopes.
Yeah.
All right.
Those are the three most popular, but if anybody just Googles it, they'll come up with a whole list. Be really careful, number one, what it costs, where the hidden costs are, if there are. So make sure you understand that or it'll spoil it. And the other thing is there's no magic bullet here. I don't have a client that's been on one of these apps for a long time. But at the beginning, if it makes you kind of excited and you think this is fun, this technology is fun, anything to take the negative off.
Wait, they haven't been on the apps for a long time because it starts to feel like a hassle?
Then it's budgeting.
Just gets you started. Okay.
Well, it gets, and they can do it for a little while.
Yeah,
so at least they get that sense of control back to the control and the stress. So I think it's worth checking for people that just think that would be fun.
Steph is already Googling and she'll set up a, tweet that out.
I've got links to them.
It'll be on the page.
It's on the page. NPRnews.org/live.
I want to get to Aaron in Minneapolis here. Hey, Aaron, real fast. If you will, what'd you want to say?
Hi, Carrie. Hi, Ruth. I just wanted to speak to the idea of kind of good versus bad motivations, not really a prescriptive tactical thing here, but just more broadly on the good side, I feel like one aspect of it that isn't always addressed and that people may want to keep in the back of their mind is that by changing your behavior, doing something a little bit differently where you feel more in control and you feel more positive, you know, it's very often there may be somebody in your life that you're giving permission to or inspiring to do something a little different.
Good point.
Once, not just about yourself, you may be helping someone other, and I want to be careful not to have a superiority issue or that, but just keep in the back of your mind, there's something broader than just you by changing your behavior to something you feel better about.
Really good point. So somebody in the family might be like, thank God, because I didn't want to have to bring that up.
Which is our behavior. Other people watch, and it either adds something positive or negative.
When am I going to see you next? Is it January?
Early January.
We have to figure out what we're going to talk about.
We'll have
Ruth, this was great. Ruth Hayden, you can find out more about the classes that she teaches for couples and for women at ruthhayden.com. You can see those apps on the page NPR News with Carrie Miller. And it's been Thread Week. There's a Thread Roundtable coming up tomorrow morning. Boy, this was so much fun. We are talking about to finish or not to finish a book. It's going to be lively, y'all. Listen in at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Support for this program comes from Hennepin Health Foundation's Light Up the Night Gala on December 2nd. This fundraising event supports the mission of HCMC, where every life matters. Learn how you can join the celebration on the field of U.S. Bank Stadium at hcmc.org/light.